Good morning, church. I'm very happy to see everybody, to be with you, in worshiping God this morning. As the weather is also getting nice this past week, so I hope that you can have time to go outside to enjoy the beautiful sun. And let's all pray that we will be able to resume in-person gathering soon. And I miss all of you very much. It's kind of a bit lonely in this big empty church all the time. This morning, my topic is weak power, foolish wisdom. When I was young, I still remember that all the shops, stores were closed on Sunday. So what? Cannot do shopping on Sunday? So what do you do on Sunday? Well, you go to churches. So those were the days. In 1985, to be exact, April 24th, the Supreme Court of Canada struck down the Lord's Day Act. So before that, it's illegal to have your stores open on Sunday. So the Lord's Day Act was struck down by the Supreme Court in 1985. And then stores can open on Sundays. And then we can see the society has changed since that day. And before that, I think we can all, well, for the older ones, we can see that it's a more quiet life. Life has changed, especially in the last couple of decades. You know, we can see that the Christianity, our faith, our belief, has been becoming more and more irrelevant to the society. The media has trivialized our faith. But let's not forget, you know, the Bible, Christianity, is deeply rooted in our culture. Some of our famous university, McMaster, was formed by a group of Baptist church people. Lowell, from the Roman Catholics. Western University, you know, by the Anglican Church. So Sabbath was a day of rest in those days, but time has changed. And even the society we are getting more and more away from the root of the foundation of our country. Bible is no longer being seen as cool. If you're a young person in school, I think you even feel more so. You know, Bible, teaching, scriptures, churches, it's just not cool. We like to talk about psychology, social issues, science, political issues, but Bible, the message just seems to be weak. The reasoning is weak. Even nowadays, some of the churches, find that the message of the cross, Jesus, is weak. So we need to help to sell this gospel. So we package the gospel with more other business attractions. We have to make it more attractive, make the gospel more attractive. Because by itself, Jesus by itself, the message of the cross itself is a weak message. We need to package, like in marketing. We need to be able to sell it. We want to be able to tell people that, you know, if you believe in this message, you will be successful. You will prosper. We want to package it even better with different kind of music. I'm not saying that that's not important. No. We have a very strong music teams here. That's important. But slowly, our focus becomes more on the packaging. And we see that this message itself, the message of the cross, is not a powerful, strong message that we can sell to the outside people. It's a message that we can talk inside the church, right? We all pray, we go to Sunday school, we worship. But once we leave the church, we do not see this message we have. It's a strong message. We are reluctant to share this message with our classmates, with our friends, our colleagues, our non-Christian relatives, family members. And this is the problem also with the church of the Corinth. Slowly the church today, we preach a gospel that's more important to be attractive rather than we reluctant to talk about sins. We like to talk about God's love, but we don't want to talk about judgment. People do not like to hear that. People want to come to church, have a good time, right? And then we are making them reflect, repent. So a philosopher said, many churches today become a church with a God that without wrath. This God is a very kind, loving God. A God without wrath brought man without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross. Don't talk about nailing yourself on the cross. Don't talk about redemption, about sin. Those things people do not like to hear. Only talk about love. Everything can be under within the umbrella of love. And in Corinth, they have this problem as well, the church of Corinth. And Paul is trying to tell them, basically, the church in Corinth is facing the same challenge we have today. People in the church even think that maybe this message is weak. So in the church of the Corinth, they also have this challenge. For the word of the cross is foolishness. It's a foolish message to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To the people in the church of Corinth, they also think that this message is weak, but there are a lot of very wise philosophers, scholars, scribes, teachers, knowledgeable people. This message, it just seems to be too simple. It's like today. If we try to, sometimes we ourselves do not really believe in our message, the message of the cross. And if you are in college, you'll be very shy. Well, maybe not everybody, not our clay here. But some of us may be shy to share this with our colleagues, with our classmates, because we are a bit embarrassed to tell people about this Jesus. Jesus just sounds so weak. Our Bible sounds so unscientific. We like to talk about scientists, politics, what the professor taught us in school. And believing in this God seems to be so far away, it's absurd. We like to believe that the media, of course, we are not very exactly a very a favorable topic in the media, where you never hear the media talk about Christianity. And the science we learn in school may appear to contradict with our belief. This cross, the message of the Jesus dying on the cross, seems to be a weak message. And to some point, it is even offensive. Right? We're supposed to love people. So what if some people who committed sins against the Bible? Let's not upset people with that. Talk about love, forgiving. So this cross even become offensive nowadays. We like to water it down a bit. But Jesus faced the same problem. When people came to Jesus in his time, did he ever dance around the truth and fear that he may offend some people? He never did. He always confronted people with their sins. He never tried to dance around the issue so that he would please everybody. To the Jewish people, they want signs, and the Greek, Gentiles, they search for wisdom. What does it mean? The Jews, they want power. They want to see power. They always ask Jesus for miracles, signs. Right? Because from the miracles, then they believe that this is the Messiah, this is the powerful Messiah. They're looking for somebody who's strong, strong leader, a political leader, a warrior that can save them from the control by the other countries. They're looking for a military leader. They want somebody who has power. So they ask for signs. But Jesus always tells them that, actually, they have already seen a lot of miracles, right? The ones who've been following Jesus, actually, they've seen Jesus performed lots of miracles. But they want more, right? They just want to see somebody with power. And Jesus just appeared to be a weak leader, isn't it? Right? It's not exactly I don't know how big Jesus is, but just from the scriptures, description, it doesn't seem to be a very strong, muscular male, a strong military leader. But the Jews, they want power. And for the Greeks, they want something else. You know, they are more thinkers, theologians, philosophers. They want something that is more complicated, sophisticated in philosophy, right? And this dying on the cross, resurrection, it just doesn't seem logical. It seems so simple. Accepting Jesus, you will be saved. That's just too easy, right? It's not sophisticated enough, this theory to them, right? So they want something that's more logical, philosophical, and to them, more wise. So the message of the cross become a stumbling block to the Jews and to the Gentile people, to the Gentiles, is foolishness. But to the ones who are called, whether you're Jews or Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's just the opposite. To the ones who are called, who are accepted, hopefully all of us here this morning, this message of the Christ dying on the cross, this message to the outside people, to the world, to our community out there, it seems weak. It seems is foolish, is foolishness, but to us, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But do we really experience and feel this power? Sometimes we are not. Sometimes we are like the people in the churches in Paul's time, that we also find this Jesus is not that powerful. Right? Today, if Jesus come to our church, you know, apply for the job of a senior pastor, I'm not sure if we will hire him. I'm not sure if we will hire Jesus. He probably too. We want a strong leader, you know, someone who has cast visions, ability, need to have a degree from the seminary. You know, Jesus seems to be too soft for that. Right? Today, you know, we want some more complicated systems. You know, the gospel appears to not very attractive. We need to package it more. But Paul here reminded us that the message of Christ is the power of God and also the wisdom of God. Right? It's the power because it can bring us new life. It can bring us reconciliation with the Creator. It can connect us with God again. It's power because it can change people's life. It can change broken relationships. It can mend broken relationships. It can heal our hurts. We can even make your life change, turn around. We can make people who are weak become strong. So this message, I hope all of you have experienced this power, that our life has been changed because of this message. This message also gives us eternal life, isn't that? What teaching, message on this earth can give us eternal life? So this is a powerful message. This is also a message of wisdom. All our science can only tell us, explain things about this physical world, right? But the Bible is teaching us something that we would never be able to comprehend in the spiritual world. We can explain about the science of the physical world. We think that we are quite advanced, but we can explain nothing. We know nothing about spiritual world. We know nothing about our spirit. We know nothing about our soul. How heavy is your spirit? How much soul do you have? Do we measure it by pound or volume? We know nothing. We know that everybody has a spiritual side, but how do we quantify it? Where does it come from? Where will it go? We know nothing, despite all our philosophers, our science. We know nothing. But this wisdom from God explained to us, we are more than just a physical being. We have spirit, and this spirit is eternal. It tells us how our spirit can be once again reconciled, redempted, to be unified, have fellowship with this God again. Isn't that a message of wisdom? That's beyond human. You always try to compare God's wisdom with human wisdom. So the human wisdom is so complicated, right? You have to study a PhD for a small topic in school. But this Bible seems to be simple. It is simple because it's revelation from God. It's beyond human comprehension. I really like the Message Bible sometimes for devotional almost enjoyment. This is how the Message Bible interpret this. It's not an exact translation, as you know, the Message Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Since the world in all its fancy wisdom, I like this one, fancy wisdom, never had a clue when it came to knowing God. How true this is, isn't it? Fancy wisdom of the world. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue when it came to the understanding of God, because God is not a physical being. We know nothing about the spiritual realm. And it is only through the Bible, through God's revelation, that we have a clue. We cannot claim that we understand everything, but we have a slight clue how to be connected with this source of all power and the creator of all things in this universe, God himself. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that powerful? We can send a spacecraft to Mars, which is somewhere between 34 to 216 million kilometers. Wow, it's really far away. We can send a spacecraft to Mars. It takes about 7 months. My goodness, that's really fascinating, isn't it? It takes 7 months to send a spacecraft to Mars. And Mars doesn't stay there. It moves. Right? Can you imagine how sophisticated it is? Right? I even get lost going to Richmond sometimes. No, Richmond doesn't move. Right? Can you imagine? You send a spacecraft to this little planet, 200 million kilometers away, and we can land a spacecraft there. Wow, that's really science. But yet, when it comes to a little tiny COVID virus, it's not much we can do to that. It brought the whole world to their knees. It's little tiny violence. We think that our science is very advanced, but yet when it comes to the nature, we are no match. Little virus brought all of us into fear and panic. Jesus told us the truth about life. And that is the power in the message. That is the wisdom of God. There's a song, an old hymn I really like. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Power in Jesus. Power in the cross. God seemed to use a weak, quote-unquote, Jesus to bring us a message that appears to be weak. And God also liked to use ordinary people, not mighty people, to convey this message to the world. For consider your calling, brethren, that we are not many, there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. So Paul is saying that in the church, there are not many very wise, very educated philosophers. Not too many people have PhDs. Paul definitely here is not trying to put down, saying that, if you have a PhD, if you are well educated, then you don't belong to the church. No, absolutely not. Paul is not trying to say that. He's trying to say that most of the people do not have a PhD here. we do have people who are very educated, and thank God for that. We are very powerful people here. We also thank God for that. We are mighty people. We also thank God for that. And our ex-pastor, Dr. King, who was our pastor and retired and be with the Lord a couple of years ago, he was a very successful scholar in the education community. So Paul is definitely not saying that, if you are wise, mighty, and noble, you don't belong to church. No, absolutely not. But he's saying that most of the time, most of the people here, including myself, are not very educated, wise people. Not many are mighty, right? Powerful people, powerful in the society. Not many are nobles. I don't know if there's any royalty among us. Maybe one or two, I don't know. But most of the people are not. And God just used ordinary people. And the base things of the world and the despise God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. God used ordinary people, base things. The Greek, genes, is where we developed, came the English word, genes. Right? Genes, the basic element, basic part. Very basic genes. God likes to use very basic common people. Even people that the world may despise. These are so common people. Fishermen. Right? Tax collectors in those days are not exactly being accepted by their own people. Right? These are traders. Fishermen, tax collectors, despised people. The things that are not. This is an interesting Greek word. That means it's nothingness. People like God used people who are nothing, very common people. Why is God doing that? God used common people, right? Not the loyalties, so that no man may boast before God. The word boast is actually, the more exact translation from Greek should be to glory, to glorify, to glory. So that man may not take the glory from God. So that when we share this gospel, it's not us. When we share this message of the cross, it's not because of us, because we are a good message, a good speaker, and therefore people accept, people change. There are a lot of very popular preachers in the world. But if the preacher, the speaker, only uses his own personal charisma, skill, charm. So they only bring people to himself, herself, not to God. So the person is taking away God's glory. So God likes to use ordinary, common people, nothingness, people who are not base people, so that people can focus on the glory of God himself. So this message of the cross is the power itself, and only God can claim all the power from this message. No human can take the glory from God. It's God let to use common people. And by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom for God, and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Let him who boast in the Lord. People like to use quote-unquote weak people to convey his message to the world, the message of the cross, so that when people come to him, it's not because of us. We are just a speaker. So this morning, I'm just a vessel of God. If the message have an impact on you, it's not because of my skill, my preaching skill. It's because of the message itself. You look at me, you don't look at me, you look at God, look at the cross. This message is powerful because it can bring righteousness, sanctification, and redemption to the listeners. No other theory, philosophers can bring righteousness, can bring you to God. Sanctification, holiness. Some teaching may change you, your behavior, but this message, of course, bring you holiness, sanctification. Right? We talk about sanitizing your hand. This message sanitizes your life. And redemption, a change of your life. Wow, that is powerful, isn't it? It brings you to God himself. No other philosopher can do that. It brings you holiness, sanctification. No philosophers can do that. And bring you redemption, a new life. Isn't that a powerful message? And this power is in God's message itself, not in the speaker. So never look at the speaker. Is the speaker bringing you to Christ or bringing you to the speaker? God used ordinary people so that people will go to him, so that he alone will claim all the glory. The gospel is designed to produce humility and to replace all people on a level in regard to salvation. We may be very mighty in our job, with a high position in our workplace. We may be very influential people in the society, and we thank God for that. We need those people in church, absolutely. But when all of us come before God as an instrument of his message of Christ on the cross, we are all come as a base, common, nothingness people, so that God can use us. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things, on thing and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. The message that we share today is a powerful message. We go to people in weakness. Like Paul, he said that, when I come to you, Paul is probably a strong leader, right? If you come and apply for senior pastor, we may probably consider a strong candidate. But he said that I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Wow, Paul himself said that he came to people in weakness and fear and trembling. Today, somebody come and look for a job. When I was still working in engineering, once in a while I have to help to interview people. If someone come for an interview and say that I'm really weak, I'm in great fear when I do my work, and I'm trembling, I'm sure you'll say, okay, thank you, you can go home in peace, and we will contact you, right? We don't want to hire somebody who is weak, in fear, and trembling. But Paul said that when he preached, and he preached in weakness. And I have to tell you that, be honest to tell you that, after so many years of preaching, every week, every time when I have to prepare my sermon, I prepare with a trembling heart. I tremble for a whole week before coming up here. I feel sometimes scared. I feel that I'm weak. I worry that if I don't explain the message clearly, I will not be doing a proper job for God. If I explain it wrong, then I'm even more would be condemned. I'm in fear, in trembling. It's not easy to stand up here and actually to preach for 30 minutes. Even Paul himself feel that he is weak, and God used Paul. Paul feel is weak. Why are we not sharing this message with other people today in college, at work? Because for some reason, we do not experience the power of this message, isn't it? God used Jesus, who appears to be weak, a message that appears to be weak. Right? And people who share this message seems to be ordinary people. Even Paul said that he is weak, but the message is powerful. But how come I do not experience this power of this message? You can imagine if you like to watch, I'm not suggesting you do, right? Watch MMA, it's mixed martial art fighting, right? Once in a while, it may show up in your YouTube. And then you watch it, for example, you watch it every day for a couple of hours. I'm not suggesting you do that. I'm just using it as an illustration. You watch it for 2 hours every day, and then you see people punch, block the punch, how to kick, how to jump, how to choke someone on the floor. So after you watch that for 5 years, 6 years, and then you say, I think I can do that. Someone punch me, I just duck. I just move, shift, I dance around, and I punch this way, and then he will try to run around, and then I punch him again, and then I will get him, right? So after you watch that, those YouTube for a few years, you may think that I can just be as good as the guy. So one day you decide to take this challenge, you walk up to this cage, and then say, I can fight this guy. Okay. Well, you know what will happen. You probably got knocked out in 5 seconds. So what's the problem? I mean, I've been studying this for years. I learned all the movements. Because you have never really demonstrated this in your life, in your practice. You watch a lot of it, but it was never part of you. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words. I'm not trying to convince you or anything. But in demonstration, here's the word. Here's the key word of the message. In demonstration, manifestation. The Greek word is manifestation. To demonstrate the spirit and the power. You need to demonstrate. Demonstrate meaning that you have to first experience this power of the cross. Then when you preach, when you share this message, then you have the power. When people look at you, they do not look at your mouth, they look at your life. And here Paul is saying that, I demonstrate this spirit and the power. Paul himself have experienced God's power, changing power, redemptive power in his life. So that's why you can say that I am the chief of the sinners. I'm the sinner of all sinners. I'm the greatest sinner. But he had experienced the power of this message of Christ on the cross. He has experienced this justification. He has experienced this sanctification. He has experienced this redemption. Therefore, he can demonstrate the Spirit and the power. You may have heard this message many times. You may be even to teach or preach up here. You may be able to lead Sunday school. You have heard so many messages, you can almost given yourself. But this message, not until you digest, you internalize, experience, you cannot demonstrate its power and spirit. We are all good sermon critics, but are we good sermon demonstrators? You'll be knocked out by the Satan in the first 5 seconds. But said, I knew all these methods, messages, but you have never experienced the justification, sanctification, and redemptive and redemption of Christ's cause. Brothers and sisters, we need to experience, internalize all this God's message, God's word, this message of Christ on the cross. The key word is, why this message seems to be weak? Because you have never experienced the true power of this message. Only when you experience it, then you can demonstrate its power. Then you can share with your classmates, your colleagues, your friends and relatives. I've seen many people came to Christ, hundreds in my lifetime. I think I led a few hundred people to Christ. It's not my skill, it's the message itself. I gave the same message almost every time, almost exactly, and people just knelt down, cried with tears, and came to Christ. Because the power is not my speech, but it's the message itself. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we can all, we have heard a lot about this message, we have learned a lot, we can even preach this message. But let this message become part of us. Let all of us to experience this redemptive power, sanctification in our life, so that we can demonstrate this power. This message may appear to be weak and foolish to the world, but yet let us experience its power and wisdom so that we can demonstrate it to the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.